Public hearing is change of zone number 1764 Coastal Club LLC.
This is an application of Coastal Club LLC for an ordinance to modify condition number 1, number 4, number 13, and number 17 imposed on ordinance number 1770 for change of zone number 1554. The application of Marine Farm LLC for the Coastal Club, a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community, and to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, for a 13.425 acre parcel, more or less, a portion of the property. The 911 address was not available. The tax map ID includes District 334, Map 11, Parcels 5, 395, and 396. For the benefit of the record, the applicant submitted an exhibit packet on October 1st of 2014. Which included a request to revise the conditions of approval for change of zone 1554, specifically those conditions by reference as 1, 4, 13, and 17, and requesting that a 13.425 acre portion of the original MRRPC be removed from the RPC, which is a residential plan community. The surveys and land descriptions were attached. That the parcel was formerly intended to be used for the community wastewater treatment facility for the Coastal Club community, that the Coastal Club community is now intended to be served as a part of a Sussex County sewer district, that the packet includes the original conditions of approval with revised wording for conditions of approval number 1, 4, 13, and 17, and that copies of the original conditions of approval from the minutes of the Sussex County Council dated April 19th, 2005 were also attached in that packet. The applicants did more recently submit a packet of exhibits, which included a copy of the Coastal Club Master Plan, the original conditions of approval from Change of Zone 1554, suggested revised conditions of approval, a copy of a letter from the Director of the Planning and Zoning Department dated October 5th of 2005, and a copy of the minutes of the Planning and Zoning Commission for June 14th of 2007. We did agency-wise just recently receive from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division a memorandum dated April 1st, 2015, referencing that the project is capable of being annexed into a county operated and maintained sanitary sewer district, the Gosling Creek Planning Area. The wastewater capacity is available, that Ordinance 38 construction will be required, that the current system connection charge rate is $5,500 per equivalent dwelling unit, also known as EDU, that the location and size of laterals and connection points are to be installed in accordance with the Gosling Creek Planning Study, that conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required, that the County Engineering Department requires modification to the proposed conditions, that the county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet County Engineering Department requirements in accordance with the Gosley Creek Planning Study, that the county engineer must approve the connection points, and that a sewer concept plan must be submitted and approved by the engineering department, and that the engineering department provided suggested amendments to condition of approval number 17 as it relates to sewer, Reese's Lane, and others. We did find that did receive from the Sussex Conservation District comments in a form of a memorandum dated March 6th of 2015 that related to the overall project and not the conditions of approval numbers 1, 4, 13, and 17 being considered this evening. So I did not include any extension of record for those comments. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Okay. All right, sir, we thank you. Chair recognizes Mr. Fuqua.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuqua. I am an attorney here in Sussex County, Delaware, and I am representing the applicant, Coastal Club LLC. As Mr. Lank stated, we are requesting removal of a 13.4-acre parcel from the RPC, an amendment to the conditions of the approved RPC, which was change of zone 1554. It was originally known as the Marine Farm. It is now known as the Coastal Club. And again, I think as you understand, this is an existing approved RPC. There was a small exhibit packet that I submitted that I'll be referring to in my presentation. And with me are Preston Schell, who is a principal in Coastal Club LLC, and Zach Crouch from Davis Bowen and Friedel engineering firm. Also present is Bruce Wright, who is with First State Community Action Agency. I do want to try to keep this as simple as I can. It has several facets to it, but it really isn't as complicated as it sounds, so hopefully I can present it pretty straightforward. I do think it will be helpful to explain a little bit of history of this RPC, since to the best of my knowledge, only Mr. Wheatley was actually on the commission at the time of the original application, and
I'm the old guy now.
Mr. Robertson was also the attorney, but I don't think the other members were on at the time of the original application, which was in April of 2005, when the Sussex County Council actually approved change of zone 1554. That was the application of Marine Farm LLC. That was for an MRRPC. That approval approved 630 units. They were a mixture of single-family and townhouse units, and that approval was subject to 18 conditions. That approval was 10 years ago, and as you can imagine, a lot of things have changed in the past 10 years, particularly things that have affected this RPC. First of all, before any site work actually began, the economy in general and development in particular slowed dramatically, and then, as I know you can recall, imploded into a recession, and many things stopped. As happened with a lot of developments and developers, the Marine Farm developers had loans that went into default and ultimately resulted in the lender taking a deed to the property in lieu of foreclosure. Mr. Schell and Mr. Blake Thompson, who are the principals of the applicant today, as Coastal Club LLC, purchased the property from the lender and are now in the process of construction of the first phase of the development. So Coastal Club is the current owner and developer of the property, but they were not the original applicant or developer of the property. Now, as I said, a lot of things have changed in the last 10 years, and some of those changes have resulted in our application, basically. As I said, we're proposing to remove 13.4 acres from the RPC and to amend four of the original conditions of the approval. Now, as to the particulars of our request, our first request is to remove the 13.4 acres from the RPC designation. And if you look at Exhibit A of the exhibit booklet that I have, that is a basically master site plan of Coastal Club. The 13.4 acres that I'm referring to would be at the very top of that site plan. It's somewhat of a peninsula that seems to stick out there. And that is also the western boundary of the development. And also in the exhibit book, under Exhibit E, are several maps and drawings, again, depicting the 13.4 acres. Now, the 13.4-acre parcel actually fronts on Beaver Dam Road, and although you can't quite make it out on this site plan, it is separated from the rest of the development by a creek on its southern side and by wetlands on the eastern side. So the parcel actually has no direct access to the rest of the Coastal Club development, and it was never planned to have any direct access. The site was never intended for any residential or amenity development, but actually was to be the location of a private wastewater treatment plant for the development. So, again, this site was going to be where the wastewater treatment plant was going to be built. With the passage of time, the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District has been extended out Beaver Dam Road. It's now under construction, and that sewer district now includes the RPC site, including this 13.4-acre parcel. So the actual development Coastal Club will be served by county sewer, and there is no longer any reason for a private treatment plant or for the use of this parcel as a location for a private treatment plant. The removal of the 13.4-acre parcel will not have any appreciable effect on the RPC since, number one, it's not needed. Number two, it's isolated from the remainder of the property. And because the RPC actually contains 373 acres, the removal of this acreage has a minimal impact on the overall density of the development. It's a very, very insignificant percentage. So our first request is to remove this parcel from the RPC overlay, and the net effect of that will be it will be a separate 13.4-acre parcel with MR zoning. We believe that that is appropriate in this area based, number one, on its location next to Coastal Club, and also its inclusion in the sewer district. Now, as to the amendment to the conditions of approval, we are requesting changes to conditions 1, 4, 13, and 17. And as Mr. Lank stated, the original conditions of approval are Exhibit B of the exhibit packet, and the proposed revised conditions are in Exhibit C of the packet. As to condition one, the original application for the RPC proposed 650 units, of which 432 would be single-family lots. So in approving that RPC, the county council actually deleted 20 of the requested single-family lots, and they were lots that had access to Jimtown Road but were not interconnected. So when the county council did that, that reduced the total number of units from 650 to 630. And the condition, as stated, has that reduction from 650 to 630. However, there was also a provision that the number of those units that would be single-family lots would not be less than 432. And when the 20 units were reduced from the overall, they weren't reduced from the single-family lot requirement. So basically, there should have been 20 single-family lots reduced from that number two. I think it was just a technical oversight. It was nothing more than that. I did raise the issue with Mr. Lank back in October of 2005, I believe, and I referred to Exhibit D in the packet. You'll see there a letter from Lawrence, basically agreeing in the letter that the number of single-family lots should have been reduced to 412. So since we are requesting revisions to the conditions, I just wanted to revise this condition to state what's correct and, in effect, what it is now. Lawrence has indicated that it should have been that number. So it's more just cleaning that up and having that as the correct number. The next condition is condition number four. It states that the development will be served by central sewer. And again, at the time of the original approval, that was private central sewer. Since the land is now in a county sewer district, the proposed amendment just changes it to state that development will be served as part of a county sewer district. And again, I think that's just cleaning up the condition so it states what the reality is today. Condition 13 referred to a proposed 42-acre wildlife habitat area that was required due to the existence of an eagle's nest that was located on the property. And again, if you refer to Exhibit A, of the master plan, it shows the eagle's nest as the dot in the middle of that large undeveloped circle, right in the middle of the development. Federal law requires a 750 undisturbed radius around an eagle's nest, because at that time eagles were listed as an endangered species. And in fact, the road that surrounds that circle was actually named Eagle View Road. Now, as I said, many things change in 10 years, and in this case, the eagles left. I submitted for the record, it's not in the exhibit packet, but it's in the file, a letter that was submitted by Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. to Mr. Craig Copey of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, confirming that since the eagle's nest had been abandoned for 5 consecutive breeding seasons, the voluntary bald eagle management plan that had been basically approved was no longer required. So those requirements are off this site because of the eagle not being there for at least 5 breeding systems. So what we're requesting, well, first of all, we're not requesting that we be allowed to develop the 42 acres. Okay, that's not the request here. The request is that the that area that was designated as the eagle law.
You can change it from Eagle View to Eagle Flew.
I think we'll try to get Eagle out of there at all. But what we're proposing is that rather than this Eagle Preservation Area, that this now be redesignated as community open space. As I said, rather than a wildlife habitat conservation area, and the area could be used for passive or active recreational uses or just natural open space, which, again, we think is appropriate with the change of circumstances. And, again, I want to stress that the revised condition that I'll be submitting to you states that no construction of residential units shall be permitted in that 42-acre area. The only thing permitted would be recreation uses or natural open space. So there are the 3 conditions, 1, 4, and 13, that we're requesting. And I said they're basically based on change of circumstances. The circumstances surrounding condition 17 are somewhat more complicated and require some further background. As part of the original marine form application back in 2004, the original developer recognized that the proposed development would have a significant impact on the residents of the Jimtown area, which is adjacent to this site. And the developer at that time offered a number of improvements that the developer would undertake on behalf of the Jimtown property owners. Now, those improvements were voluntarily offered by the developer, and since they were proffered by the developer, they were incorporated into the conditions of approval, and that basically is condition number 17. Now, in my opinion, legally, the county could not have required off-site improvements by the developer for other private property owners, but again, this was proposed by the developer. It was agreed to by the developer, and this offer was incorporated into the conditions with the developer's consent. So there's no question about the legality of these conditions. The condition itself was actually, the terms of the condition were originally set forth in a letter about these offered improvements that was from the developer to the residents of the Jimtown area. The proposed revision to condition 17 contains, again, several housekeeping items. The condition refers to Marine Farm LLC as the developer. We just want to change that to the developer because Marine Farm LLC is no longer an entity that is involved in this this development. And again, throughout the conditions, the development is referred to as the Marine Farm, and we want to change that to Coastal Club, which is the current name of it. And again, those changes are throughout the conditions, and I think are just obviously reasonable and rational. Condition 17A discussed the sewer. The condition needs to be revised to address the change from what originally was going to be the Marine Farm private central sewer system to the fact that it's now going to be in a county sewer district. So the revised condition provides that it's now going to be a county sewer rather than private sewer, and indicates the developer will be responsible for any tap or connection fees for a three-year period, commencing with when the county actually accepts the Coastal Club sewer system into the sewer district. Under the terms of that provision, no one is required to hook into the county sewer system. The one incentive, of course, would be that they would do so at no cost to them for a three-year period after the system is operational. And the last item, which is really I'll call it the controversial item, is conditions 17C and D. And we are requesting, based on the reasons I'm going to tell you, that they be deleted. 17C addressed the developer's installation of streetlights. This was along Jimtown Road. And condition 17D addressed the installation of sidewalks, again, along Jimtown Road. And just to make it clear, because once I hear the word sidewalk, I don't want to... These are not the sidewalks within the development. These are sidewalks that were going to be provided outside the development.
Do you have that, Mr. Johnson?
The sidewalk and streetlight improvements... they've been controversial from the start. The county council hearing minutes from back in 2004 state that everyone in Jimtown is not in agreement with this proposal, and I think that statement is still accurate today. In fact, this disagreement is actually reflected in the original language that was used in conditions 17C and 17D. If you read those conditions, you'll see that the requirement for streetlights and sidewalks for both of those state, and I quote, if desired by the residents of Jimtown, close quote. So, make a long story short, the county council punted on the issue back then, and we're still dealing with the same issue today. You know, what is the desire of the residents of Jimtown? Now, that issue actually came up in 2007. Some of the residents requested Marine Farm LLC, the prior developer, to modify or delete some or all of the conditions. And there was actually a application filed. I believe at that time, everyone was on the board except for Mr. Ross. I don't think he was on the board at that time, so you probably recall that. At that time, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended against any deletion or modification of those originally approved conditions. And that request was withdrawn before County Council acted on it. So nothing in effect changed. I do want to stress that application was an application of the developer, but it was at the request of the residents. The developer was not trying to remove himself from those obligations. They were just looking for guidance. So bringing it up to date, after Coastal Club actually acquired the property and began the concept of developing it, they wanted to determine the desire of the residents of Jimtown, of the community, as to the streetlights and sidewalks as required by the condition. That in itself was a question of how to go about doing that. So what was decided The developer determined, in cooperation with the county, we requested that First State Community Action Agency, Inc., would coordinate and assist the residents and the developer in determining what the residents and owners' wishes were. So information was provided to the owners and the residents. A public meeting was held to discuss the issue at the Faith Bethel United Methodist Church in Belltown. Bruce Wright and Bernice Edwards of First State Community Action coordinated the meeting and also supervised a ballot of the residents and owners, which I would state is somewhat inconclusive. I think the only thing that is known for sure is that some of the residents are in favor of streetlights and/or sidewalks, and some are opposed to them. Some are strongly in favor of them, and some are strongly against them, and some have no opinion, or at least express no opinion. From my observation, and this is only my observation, those opposed to the improvements do not believe that the streetlights are needed, or they're concerned that the streetlights would change the nature of Jimtown due to the brightness of the lights, which can be an intrusion. Likewise, some feel that the sidewalks are not needed, or there is concern because the actual road right-of-way there is insufficient in many places to contain the sidewalks, that the sidewalks would have to be located outside of the right-of-way on the front of private property. And, of course, that couldn't be done without an easement granted by the property owner, and some people don't want to do that or are not willing to do that. Now, it was determined, again, by First State Community Action, and I believe with the county's concurrence, that there were 44 residents or property owners within Jimtown who would be eligible to vote. And residents were used because the original condition said residents. It didn't say property owners. Quite frankly, I think property owners was probably the term that should have been used, but it wasn't. So residents were included. Of the 44 eligible voters, 29, again, were actually property owners. As I said, the voting was supervised and reported by First State Community Action Agency. The report indicated that as to streetlights, there were 10 yes votes and 4 no votes. As to sidewalks, there were 11 yes votes and 3 no votes. To put that into percentages, and I'm only using percentages of the property owners. Okay, so this is the percentage of 29. As to streetlights, the 10 votes would be 34% of the property owners. The 4 no votes would be 14% of the property owners. The non-votings were 52%. And similar as to the streetlights, again, just of the property owners.
Mr. Fuqua, were those non-voting or were those voting that they didn't care?
They were non-voting.
They just did not vote.
Right. Okay. Speculate whether they don't care or did care.
I just wanted to make sure because earlier I thought you had said that were some for, some against, and some didn't care, and I was just trying to figure out whether they didn't care or they just didn't vote.
Yeah, well,
they didn't vote. Yeah. They didn't vote.
They okay. Either didn't care or just didn't have an opinion. We don't know.
What you know for certain is that they didn't vote.
Right, they did not vote.
All right, that's what I was getting at.
So, again, as to the sidewalks, again, if you take the 11 in favor and 3 against, that was 38 in favor, 10% against, 52% no vote. If you include the residents who are not property owners, those percentages are less than the numbers I stated. So the question as far as this condition...
Is somebody going to be giving us those numbers later, or do you have them?
The numbers are what I just gave you. I do have Bruce right here who will confirm or at least answer any questions you have because we were not involved in the actual collection of those votes or tallies.
Mr. Wright's testimony. Okay.
So, again, I just want to mention that the question tonight is not whether or not sidewalks and/or street lights are needed, or whether they're appropriate, or whether it's a good deal. Because the only question we're raising is the question of the condition, and that is, are they desired by the residents of Jimtown? So again, I want to state in summary that it was not the intent of the original developer or the intent of Coastal Club LLC to get out of or avoid installing the sidewalks and the street lights, nor was it the intent of either of those parties to force those improvements on anyone who didn't want them. We have attempted to determine, as required by the condition, the desire of the residents of Jimtown. As to the street lights and the sidewalks, it appears that there remains disagreement and that there is not a majority that wants those improvements, again, from the balloting that I mentioned. So as a result of that, we are requesting that the condition 17C and 17D be deleted. And I will introduce Bruce Wright, as I said, of First State Community Action, to hopefully confirm what I've represented to you and to answer any questions you may have about the process or anything he wants to add that I may not be aware of. And Bruce, if you can just identify yourself for the record.
Sure. Bruce Wright, Community Development Program Manager for First State Community Action Agency here in Georgetown. I would concur with everything that Mr. Fuqua said up to this point. I'd also like to explain a little bit about the process. I believe it was April of 2014, we were approached by the county and met with both the county and the developer. We then talked about a process that would be fair and impartial to approach the residents within the community and find out what their desires were for the development and the proposed improvements. With that said, we set out, found the location of the church to hold the meeting. We issued letters to the 29 property owners. We hosted a very enthusiastic and vigorous meeting where we had the developer and the county engineers and everyone there to explain what was going to happen, along with the drawings of the project that you have in front of you. And as Mr. Fuqua stated, there were those that were for and those that were against that were present. We issued ballots at that meeting. None were collected, as I think people were kind of digesting the information that was given to them. We then came back. We issued letters, which I have copies of if the commission would like, and mailed those again to the 29 property owners, giving them a chance to respond and collect the information on whether they wanted sidewalks or streetlights. I had talked to a number of the residents, been out in the community, spoke with them. In July of 2014, I sent two staff people out there to spend the day to go door to door and inquire as to what people desired with ballots that they could fill out at that time. You heard the numbers in which Mr. Fuqua stated. I believe it was a total of 14 respondents. Do you have any questions?
I heard the number 44 residents mentioned.
I believe there are 44 lots, but there are 29 property owners.
Oh, okay. So all right, it was 44 lots. So your balloting and your soliciting took place among this group of 29. Is that correct?
Yes. We mailed ballots and meeting information regarding the May 20th meeting. And again, the ballots out to all of the 29 property owners, whether they were local or I believe somewhere in Virginia and Philadelphia.
Just Mr. Wright, I think you said this, but I just want to make sure I'm clear. It's clear in the record. The day that First State was out, you know, in the community meeting with people, was there an effort to speak to residents whether they were property owners or not?
Yes.
Okay. And you feel like you did as good a job as you could in trying to involve everybody?
Yeah, we made a lot of attempts to reach out. We talked to a number of the residents in the community that are also here to get their assistance in speaking with their neighbors and finding out what their opinions were. I'm sure you'll hear from them tonight.
Did their
Well, hopefully they're here and they'll speak for themselves this evening, but did their opinions differ substantially from the results that you received from the 29 property owners, or did it mirror about the same proportion?
Yeah, I would just repeat what I said earlier, that there are folks in the community that are strongly for, and there are folks in the community that are strongly against. I think both sides have valid points. From First State Community Action Agency standpoint, we wanted to be the impartial party that could simply ask the questions.
But you polled the property owners, but you did not poll the residents?
We polled both.
What were the results of the polls with the residents included?
I believe. I believe everyone that responded. Bear with me, since there's only 14, it won't take very long.
Take your time.
Everyone who responded is also the property owner.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're confusing me again.
I understand your dilemma, but yeah, everyone who responded, we took off the tax rolls.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you spoke with 44 residents. Where this 44 lots? I guess I'm just going to get them fixated.
44 lots are what's in the
some area. People own more than one lot.
Correct.
Okay, all right then. So
we had more than property owners come to the community meeting.
That's sort of where I'm headed with the discussion, was that there are people who live there who don't own property, but they're residents. And the ordinance says residents.
Correct.
So I'm trying to focus on residents.
The response to the ballots is going to be residents. The comments, concerns, the meeting, and some of the dialogue on the street, whether they voted or not, would be residents, would be everybody. I would argue that there were folks that showed up at the meeting that weren't residents,
were not
but
residents.
Showed up for that's other interests.
Entirely possible. Yes. Right. Entirely possible. Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Mr. Wright, the non-voting people, did you get any mail returned that was undeliverable or anything to any of those people you mailed ballots to?
No.
And was there any attempt to reach out to those non-voting people by phone or whatever to see if, hey, were you just too busy to send the ballot in? Do you want a voice vote or something? Was there any attempt to reach out to solicit their opinion in the absence of their return ballot?
Just the door-to-door survey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's the, just in your opinion, was the results of everybody you spoke with, because it's all-inclusive, it's residents in the ordinance. Setting aside the ballots, I guess, for the moment, because there's not really a method set forth in the ordinance about how to determine what the residents desire. Just from sort of your participation in the process and looking at the opinions, let's say, of everybody that you talk to, what would you say the outcome of that would be in terms of whether the residents desire the streetlights and whether the residents desire the sidewalks?
That's hard to say, because again, it's so many people talking for and against,
So there was with everybody you talked to, still there wasn't a clear majority one way or the other.
Right. In my report to, I guess, the county, it was clear that it was a tie, really.
Okay.
Like I said, there are compelling arguments for both sides.
Okay.
All right, then. Thank you.
Sure.
again, the application before you tonight, at least as far as the condition 17, we're really seeking guidance from the county, who can only make that decision as to how to proceed with it.
I understand.
In Exhibit C of the booklet that I handed out, that does contain the proposed revised conditions along the lines of what I spoke of. In closing, I just want to summarize again our request. We're requesting the 14.4 acres wastewater parcel be removed from the RPC. It would remain MR zoning. It would be a separate parcel of land for the reasons I stated. Condition one, that just reduces the number of single-family homes to coordinate it with the reduction in the gross number of approved units, which Mr. Lank has already acknowledged should have been reduced. Condition four just replaces county sewer for the central sewer. Condition 13 redesignates the Eagle Wildlife Habitat as community open space. And condition 17, there's several things there. Again, it amends the name of the developer. It substitutes the name of the development. It again substitutes central sewer with county sewer. It talks about the terms of the connecting fee. And then again, we're proposing that the street lights and the sidewalk improvements be deleted. Again, based on the question or the issue that, to the best determination we can make, they are not the desire of the residents of Jimtown. And again, our efforts here were to use an impartial party determine that. Again, it's been 10 years, and we just think it's time that it should be determined one way or the other.
I think that's something everyone will agree can agree on right there, for sure.
All right, and that would conclude our presentation, other than any questions you have, and I know there's people here who will.
Okay, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, but I think we're probably ready to hear the testimony. Okay. Anyone have any questions for Mr. Fuqua at this point, or are we ready to?
I have one question.
Okay.
There was a Southern Delaware Therapeutic riding. Weren't they part of the land?
That was the parcel further down Jimtown Road. It wasn't part of the RPC.
Okay.
Thank you. I just have one question for Mr.
Sure.
Fuqua.
Yeah.
The English language is so darn funny sometimes, you know. And I understand the natural approach to look at residents in the plural. But, I mean, isn't there the possibility, given that it's almost impossible to split this baby in half, that residence could be an individual decision? So that an individual property owner might say, yeah, I want a sidewalk in front of my house, and the next door neighbor say no, it would look like, and it maybe it wouldn't function all that well, but it would be an individual decision versus a winner take all type of an environment. And I'm not saying this to pass judgment, I'm just I guess my basketball officiating pass is trying to find a level playing field for everyone to make their own bed, rather than anybody trying to be God and make it for them, is what I'm suggesting. So, and the only reason I wanted to bring it up, Mr. Chairman, now before the public question is because maybe they might want to think about that as they come up to say, well, would I want such a fragmented type of a situation or not? Certainly not an ideal situation in any regard, but this is certainly not an ideal situation at all.
Yeah, and the Zach Crouch, if you have any questions about it, he can address it. But the concern we have is, as I said, in many, if not most places, the sidewalk would have to go onto private property. If someone refused to grant an easement, there would be no sidewalk there. So you could end up with, I think what you're referring to is that, you know.
Well, because without that, I mean, it's any one individual could virtually block all because they would refuse the easement. And that would, you know, so you would have a veto power by an individual. And I'm just trying to think my way logically through a way to eliminate that veto power by an individual or this board or anybody else saying, well, here's what you have to do, whether you like it or not, because we don't like to put ourselves in that position. It may not function well, it may not look well, but at least those individuals that have that passion and a desire would get what they have a passionate desire about, and those that don't won't, and those that want to give up property can, and those that don't won't have to. So that's the place I'm trying to work towards.
Yeah, and again, I don't know whether that would be an improvement or not an improvement, quite frankly.
I don't know either.
Can I ask just a follow-up question to that?
Sure.
This is for either Mr. Fuqua or Mr. Crouch. Did you all look at whether the sidewalks can be in the right-of-way from an engineering standpoint? Or whether, I mean, we've said they'd have to be, looks like, on private property, just so that there's some elaboration to
that
statement.
I think Mr. Crouch can address that better.
So we know for sure.
Yes, we actually did a pretty thorough preliminary design on it. And unfortunately, the road sits higher than houses, okay, as it exists today. So when you put sidewalk here, you got an existing ditch. That ditch needs to go either one way or the other because you have the drainage from the lots that go into that ditch. You got the drainage from the road, from the peak of the, from the crown of the road going to the ditch. You put sidewalk there, you're moving everything over. Well, if you put sidewalk on the other side of the ditch, then of course it's into people's property. So something has to move. I mean, either the ditch has to move because there's DLDOT requirements for cleared separation distance between, of course, the edge of pavement and where pedestrian access is. And even if you put curbing in, you got curbing here. Well, you had a ditch there. Water's coming from this lot going down to somewheres, which has to be a ditch. So basically it's pushing everything over. I mean, you can go out there as of right now, today, and all the profiles, I mean, I got an exhibit that I'll show. The road is higher than the majority of the houses, the lots out there. So you have these ditches that sit way out here. Putting sidewalks, something has to move. And it's just, there's not, with all the DLDOT requirements as far as your front slope, your back slope of your ditches, and your sidewalk requirements, you know, to protect pedestrians, something has to move. And it's either going to be a drainage easement in the yards and or it's going to be the sidewalk in the yards.
And, Zach, so basically what you're saying is it can't all fit in the road right away.
No.
How wide, what is the road, right, the width of the right away?
It's 50-foot right away.
Okay.
But, you know, the roads varies from 19 feet to 20 feet. And it's, you know, tar and chip. I mean, which, there again, I mean, part of the conditions, too, is, of course, improve that road, which, there again, that's going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, by doing that, of course, you're actually putting in a 2-inch lift of asphalt or the improvements on that, so you're actually raising even more. I mean, it's just, there again, I mean, this is the dynamics of engineering.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Mr.
Crouch. Were you involved in the church meeting?
Were you? Yes, I was.
Did the residents see a proposed plan? Did they say?
Yes, I got the exact same exhibit that. I'm sure the residents that are here can come up and look at it, but
yep.
Here's a typical cross section, which, you know, you got existing grade, you got lots on both sides. I mean, that's pretty typical. And even we showed a typical section with curbing and sidewalk, but you got an existing ditch here. That ditch has to go somewhere.
Mr. Crouch, if I can just interrupt you for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, the applicant is displaying an exhibit, which, of course, is very difficult, if not impossible, for you to see from where you're sitting. So I want to invite you, by all means, if you wish to see it, please feel free to get up and come take a look at it at your leisure anytime during the presentation.
Just real quick, I mean, here we have an existing ditch. Here's an existing roadway. You can see again, this whole road has been topo. So all the serving has been done on this road. So you can see the difference in grade from the center line of the road to the adjacent property. And there again, here's the ditch. You put the sidewalk on this side, this ditch has to move over. We put the sidewalk on outside the right of way, the ditch will stay the same. Then we also looked at going curving. Curving, you got a ditch here. Well, that ditch has to go somewhere because, you know, this land
is lower than here. It drains this way. It has to go somewhere.
But was there maps depicting each property and how it would affect each individual properties, or was it a snapshot picture of that?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, come on around.
I want to see it. I don't want to speak on the ground. I was at the meeting, and this is the first time, because at the meeting at the church, this was not explained.
This was.
Did you explain it?
Yes, all of this was explained at the meeting. I stayed after the meeting to explain to
the meeting.
Okay, the man, he's answered your question, sir.
I said, join the meeting. This was not explained, and that's why it's unclear in terms of the voting and whatnot.
Okay.
I'm going to have an opportunity to speak.
You will.
This is great. I'm glad that we have this.
You're welcome to stay here and look at the maps if you want.
Is the top map there the entire 29 lots or whatever?
Yes, it goes from basically where the old bridge was. It's been replaced to Beaver Dam Road.
So each property owner that is affected is on that map?
Well, the ordinance states that sidewalk on one side or the other.
Right.
So it's either on the north side or the south side. It really doesn't matter because you got the same issues on both sides of the road.
But if I'm a property owner and voting, and I could see where it would be on this side, I would.
These folks on this side, residents would say, well, it's not affecting my side, so I would vote for it.
Right.
But
that's my point.
It's one side. So it's just a matter, whatever side, and it's the reason why I chose this side was because
what side is this?
It's the south side.
Okay.
If we went to the north side, there's more residents affected. If we went to the south side, there's less residents affected because there's some fields here, which is the reason why we put it on, which we thought was a more, if it was going to be installed, that would be the more desirable side just because it's a less affected residents.
Are more houses on the south side than the north side?
Yes. I mean, you can see from
there. Right, okay.
Good, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to refrain from asking questions. You will get your opportunity to speak, and if you have questions, we will get them answered for you. Okay.
And there again, as Mr. Fuqueway stated, we never said we would not do this. I mean, it's just unfortunately with the way the existing conditions are out there, something has to give. I mean, it's either
right.
The ditch has to move one way or the other. I mean, I just don't have no other way around it.
Yes,
Preston Shell with the developer. I just want to reiterate again that we're happy to install sidewalks and streetlights. What we really want out of this meeting and then the subsequent council meeting is just direction.
Agreed. I think that's fully and completely understood by the folks whose guidance is being sought. And that's what I hope that we can achieve this evening is to try to get some sense of what people want. I do have an interesting question, though. It's interesting to me. Did you look at putting sidewalks on both sides? Because that would be a very interesting question, because this is all kind of coming into focus now. If the sidewalk's only on one side, then certainly folks on one side or the other might have
Mr. Wheeler, I'm
view.
Just addressing the condition.
I know you are. I know you.
But there again, it goes back to.
Right.
If you need it on this side, you got pretty much the same conditions on the other side.
Agreed.
I mean, that's how come the cross section clearly shows it. I mean,
right.
So, it really, we tried to utilize the side that would be less impacted.
Well, because one position certainly would be. Well, if the sidewalk's on the other side of the street, I don't care. Have a sidewalk.
Yes, sir.
Sure, I want a sidewalk, but I don't want it in front of my house. I want it in front of somebody else's house. So that makes this even more fun and problematic. So that's good. So we're going to get to an answer.
The condition did say one side.
I know, Mr. Fuqueway. I know. I was there. Remember? I was there. I know exactly what it said. One side, but we're going to figure this out.
Zach, can I ask Zach?
Yeah, Zach.
When I rode by there this afternoon, I mean, some of the homes are so close to the right-of-way that it would appear to me, I didn't get out with a tape measure, I don't know how many feet you need for the easement for the sidewalk, but it would appear to me that a sidewalk put in inside the easement in some cases would be in people's front step.
Exactly.
I mean, mm-hmm. It's one of those, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's one of those, I mean, here, prime example. I mean, and then you go on the other side of the road, but you can get worse.
Okay.
Here, you have the right of way, and you have a house probably 10 feet off the right of
way. Exactly.
So there, that's how come we went to the south side, so hopefully, you know, it looked like it was, it's kind of like it's a double-edged sword. I mean, when you have one side, I mean, you try to pick the side that's...
That inconveniences the least number of people, yes, of course, yeah. Okay. All right, anyone else for the... Okay, I think we're all very, very anxious to hear from the residents. Typically, the way we do this is that we ask for folks who are for the change of zone or against the change of zone. In this instance, being for the change of zone that is being requested would mean that you don't want sidewalks or streetlights. But does it really matter?
I would almost just say that just because there's so many elements of this.
Just let people speak as they wish, and we don't have to worry about who's for and who against.
Yeah, yeah.
I would much prefer that myself, but I was just trying to observe the rules of the commission.
Yeah, no, I think in this case, because there's two elements just on streetlights and sidewalks, in addition to the other issues they've requested some consideration of.
All right, then. So who would like to speak on change of zone number 1764? No one would like to speak. Okay. Well, come on up.
My name is Rosalyn Allen Eccles, and I have interest in a property on Jimtown Road, off of Jimtown Road. The address is 32270 Jimtown Road.
Are you a resident there?
I do not live in Jimtown.
Okay.
And you're probably very familiar with me because I came to all of the planning and zoning.
Yeah, but I'm just asking the question.
Right.
It's fine.
No,
that's good.
Okay.
You proceed.
Okay. With the changes, the proposed changes that the developer, Mr. Shell, through Mr. Fuquay, is proposing, there isn't an issue with number one. Four, saying that their development shall be served by central sewer is of no concern to us unless it is affecting us. If they want central sewer, that should be their right to have central sewer. If they want it to have an on-site sewer, it should be their right to have on-site sewer because they are property owners and it should be their right to decide. Then there was a 13. And I believe 13 had to do with the eagle's nest.
That's correct. That was the one where the eagles flown the coop. Yeah.
We have nothing to say about the eagle's nest. 17, however, is a whole different story. In the ordinance, at the very beginning, it says the applicant shall provide the improvements that they offer to the residents of Jimtown, as described in the letter of November the 18th, 2004, as described below. Of course, it's prefaced by the November the 18th letter. The November the 18th letter gave us the right to choose not just whether we wanted streetlights and sidewalks, but whether or not we wanted water and sewer. And at the meeting that was hosted by First State Community Action, I asked Mr. Robertson four times if we still had the right to choose regarding sewer, water, streetlights, and sidewalks. May I ask Mr. Robertson again whether we still have the right to choose?
You've already asked him four times. Did he not?
That was at a public meeting, but not on the record here at the planning and zoning meeting.
What the, I don't have any problem answering it.
Okay,
what's
sure.
been proposed through the changes? Well, we've talked about the streetlights and sidewalks. That's if the residents desire. So there's the choice there. The water and sewer is a little bit like what Mr. Ross stated. That the plan that's been proposed is that the water and sewer would be available, and individual property owners could connect if they choose. You can't. The choices can't be made unless there's the ability there to connect. So what's being proposed is the opportunity to make that choice.
I'm so sorry that my question wasn't clear. My question wasn't whether we had the right to choose whether we wanted water and sewer, but whether or not we had the right to choose whether the line was installed down the road for water and sewer.
I don't think you have that choice, ma'am.
No. I'm asking in regards to the November the 18th correspondent, which you have cited in the ordinance, which is now has been adopted for the past 10 years. Did we and do we have the right to still choose?
At this point, what the ordinance says is that there's going to be, going back to the 10-year-old ordinance, that there, in 17A and 17B, it's stated that the sewer would be installed in Jimtown Road, the sewer main in Jimtown Road, and the same thing with the water main by a private but public utility. What the applicant has requested for consideration this evening, or in this application, is that that be modified so that the sewer still be there, but it would be county sewer, and then the sewer main would still be installed, and again, the same as before, the property owners would have the right to connect to sewer and the right to connect to the water.
I heard your answer very clearly. I still didn't hear an answer as to whether or not we had the right to choose.
Ma'am, I'm going to answer that question for you. Okay, for the best of my knowledge, I don't know. Okay, I will tell you this, that if the sewer line is located on the state property, it's in the state right away, it's not likely that you're going to have a choice. The line is going to go in. What you will be able to choose is to whether or not you connect to that line. That's your choice. But to put the line in the street, I don't think is the choice of any individual property owner.
I hear exactly what you're saying,
okay,
and I understand what you just said.
Right.
The November the 18th letter that was read into your ordinance that you adopted, which Mr. Robertson, the county attorney, would give you interpretation and myself regarding whether or not we had the right to choose about the line going down the road. I heard what you said. I did hear what you said.
Okay.
You said you didn't know.
I don't know what, I don't have the letter in front of me, don't know what it says.
The letter should be a part of the information for the file.
It probably is.
Is there any way that someone could give us information to be read into the meeting tonight?
No.
It's in the original file.
And it'll be made part of the record.
It's part of the record.
And we'll make sure that it also goes to county council's part.
Okay.
You obviously have a point to why you're being so insistent on this. Do you believe that that letter gives you the right to choose?
The letter stated clearly that we had the right to choose, just like it did with the streetlights and the sidewalk.
Well,
but what has been said here over and over consistently is that the only two issues that we are discussing are the streetlights and the sidewalk.
Okay.
And the issues that we should be discussing are the sewer, water, street lights, and sidewalks as issues that the residents still have a right to make a decision on, just like the property owners of Mr. Shell has a right to decide and Mr. Thompson have a right to decide what type of systems they want to service their planned community. And the residents of Jimtown, the majority of them, signed a petition back in 2005 stating that we did not want the sewer line. And specifically, we stated we did not want the 8-inch We stated in the petition that we did not want the 8-inch sanitary sewer gravity line within Jimtown Road from the intersection of Jimtown and Beaver Dam Road to its connection with the stubouts from Jimtown down Reese's Lane to Marine Farm.
Okay.
And for 10 years, it has been ignored, as if someone had to go back and ask First State Community Action to help us to make up our minds as to whether or not we wanted that. There was information stating that we had not been informed. Deneret came to our meetings and spoke. We had represented Mr. Esposito from Tidewater. We had Mr. Izzo from County Engineering. We had people from the Historic Preservation Office come to our meetings and speak. I mean, we were very well informed, and we knew exactly what we were voting on and what we were saying when we said that we did not want. The majority of us said it and signed the petition. And I would hate to have that petition nullified in 2015 because individuals are saying to themselves that we did not have the ability to self-determine what is in the best interest of our community that has been there for over 100 years. In addition to the sewer and water, the residents stated that they did not want the sewer line. They stated that they did not want the water. They did not want Tidewater. And Tidewater, I guess, back in the 80s, bought swaths of land, or didn't buy swaths of land. They went to the Public Service Commission and were granted swaths of land, like grids, of where they would serve. So if the lines go in, it is not the county that will decide in the ordinance whether or not we will have to connect. It is Deneret stating whether or not, if your well goes dry, whether you will be granted a permit. So you will have to, if you're not granted a permit, then you will have to go with Tidewater if the lines are in the road based on the information from the county regarding how the county runs and if the line is in a certain area. Well, instead of saying it like that, I'll just say what your ordinance says. And that's the same thing with the sewer. If someone's septic system does not work, it says you guys are saying, hey, you don't have to connect if you don't want to. We're giving you that out. You do not have to do that. It's not conclusive. It's an eventuality. Eventually, someone's septic system will have to be replaced, and they will have to connect. The issue that the residents had with that is that there are some residents that don't just own one property, they may own two or three. So then you have the fees that the county charges for having a home and property, that fee, plus you have the assessment fee, plus you have the clean-out fee, and you may have that two or three times, which means that if an individual does not have the funds, they will lose their property after it being in the families for generations. And that is a concern. So that is why, when we were thinking about this, that is one of the reasons why we didn't want water and sewer lines going down Jimtown Road. And the language that is being proposed tonight, taking out the letters that are being referenced, weakens our position, weakens our stance. The Mr. Lank's letter being taken out and that being modified weakens our position and weakens our stance and our argument. So we do not want that information taken out of the modified and taken out of the ordinance. And we would like clarification about the sewer line. According to the county's ordinance, Chapter 10 of the Sussex County Code deals with sewer and water concerns. Sewer 110-4 expressly provides the owners of all houses, buildings, or properties used for human occupancy, employment, recreation, or other purposes situated within an area served by Sussex County Sewer District or a Sussex County Water and Sanitary Sewer District and abutting on any street, alley, or right-of-way in which there is now located or may in the future be located a public sanitary or combined sewer of the county are hereby required at their expense to install suitable toilet facilities therein and to connect such facilities directly with the proper public sewer in accordance with the provision of this Part 1 within 60 days after the date of official notice to do so and to make such connections in accordance with the interim code for building water and sewer service pipe connections to Sussex County Sanitary Sewer Districts and Sussex County Water and Sanitary Sewer Districts, Article 7 of this Part 1. At such time as a public sewer becomes available to a property served by a private sewage disposal system in an area served by Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District or Sussex County Water and Sanitary Sewer District, a direct connection shall be made to the public sewer, and any septic tanks, cesspools, and similar private sewage disposal facilities shall be abandoned and filled with suitable materials. That's another cost that, even though it seems like a good deal because the developer is going to pay the connection fee, people would have to pay for the abandonment fee. Some people even haven't even had their systems for 10 years. You know, so they would have to pay that fee. They would have to pay from the stub out to their homes. Some of the homes are back in the woods. And they would have to pay a plumber to do that, one of the county's plumbers who's been certified by the county to do that. There are all of these fees that people are going to have to come out of pocket. The majority of citizens in Jimtown are older citizens, people who are on fixed incomes, people who are disabled. For individuals to have to come out of pocket because they're not paying the original tap-in fee, thinking, oh, whoopee, that's a good deal, that's $3,000. The other fees are going to trump that $3,000 initially. And if they didn't have the $3,000, you know, they're in trouble. Because according to this, once this goes out, if people do not do this, let's see what it says here. The owners of all houses, buildings, and properties used for human occupancy, employment, recreation, other purposes situated in the areas served by Sussex County Water District and abutting on the street alleyways and right-of-ways in which there is now located. Oh, did I do that already?
Ma'am, I'm going to ask you, and again, in accordance with the rules of the commission,
okay,
I'm going to ask you to move on from, I think we well understand your position on water and sewer,
mm-hmm.
And this is the objective of your testimony, is to make us aware of your position on this, on any issue you're testifying on. We understand your position on water and sewer. I'm going to ask you to leave that and move on to any other issues to which you would like to speak. Most importantly, streetlights and sidewalks.
Well, streetlights. The majority of citizens in Jimtown already have security.